Welcome to Bardo's Breakdown, the podcast that gives you the complete 411 on Big Ten basketball. And now your host, former NBA and Flying Illini great, Stephen Bardo.
Welcome back to another edition of Bardo's Breakdown. I'm your host, Stephen Bardo, and I'm pleased to be joined today by Marcus Jackson, who covers the Illini for the News Gazette. Marcus, thanks a lot for joining me this afternoon.
Yeah, Stephen, I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. Let's get into all things Illini here during this interview. Marcus is all over the team in terms of individuals and teams and recruiting. So great source if you want to follow the Illini. Go to the News Gazette and look up Marcus. And Marcus, what's your handle on Twitter as well?
It's MarcusJ_NG.
Okay. So follow him on Twitter as well. Always got great information about the team. So, Marcus, let's start out, and you've gotten a chance to look at some early practices of the Illini. What do you think of them thus far?
Yes, it's really – you're kind of a different team. I know, obviously, if you followed the team last year, you know that they really struggled to score the basketball last year outside of Ravonte Rice. And they really, you know, toward the end of the season, you know, they relied on him a lot, and some teams were able to take him away a little bit. But they've got some reinforcements and some guys who can help. And, you know, obviously, Ahmad Starks and Aaron Cosby are the first names that come to mind. And those guys sat out last season after transferring in. Starks from Oregon State, Cosby from Seton Hall, and they're guys who can stretch the defense. They can shoot the ball consistently from three. Both of them were 40% or better three-point shooters at their previous stops. So they're going to open some things up and prevent, you know, the driving lanes from being closed on Ravonte Rice. So that's kind of the main thing that steps up right now is that they've got a little bit of depth in the backcourt and some guys who can stretch the defense and open some things up for other guys. So, you know, in terms of, you know, the offensive, you know, they were anemic on offense last year. I think that's going to kind of go away a little bit, and they'll be a little bit more explosive at that end. So I think, you know, sometimes the game's kind of bogged down and got a little bit boring last year, but there's a lot of athleticism and a lot of guys can play some meaningful minutes for them, especially in the backcourt this season.
You know, Marcus, you make a great point. You talk about the style of the Illini last season. I know John Gross would prefer to get up and down. He'd prefer to play a little bit faster and you know, give his guys the ability to shoot the three. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, Tracy Abrams' injury might have been a blessing in disguise. And I say that because you mentioned there was a log jam in the backcourt as he comes back. It seems like Starks and Cosby give them quickness, a little bit more quickness in the backcourt and the ability to shoot the ball. What is your assessment on the effect of Tracy Abrams' loss for the season?
Yeah, with his injury, you know, like you said, there was going to be a lot of competition back there in the backcourt. So I think if you're ever to lose your point guard who started, you know, for the better part of three seasons for you, I think this was the year to do it because they've got, you know, some other bodies back there who are capable, who can make some things happen. So, you know, and they'll have Tracy back next year, obviously, if he comes back healthy from his injury. So I think they were able to withstand that blow this season because of the guys they've got coming in. If you think back to exactly a year ago now, you know, we were talking about Ahmad Starks being denied the waiver by the NCAA to play immediately. And everybody was disappointed about that. John Gross spoke out about that, his disappointment with the NCAA. But that's really kind of a blessing in disguise. And we talked to him last week about that. He said the Lord blessed us, you know, when Ahmad Starks didn't get that waiver. So they've got a veteran point guard who can run the show for them and make some things happen. So obviously you don't want to lose a guy like Tracy, not only for what he can do as a basketball player, but his intangibles as the leader of that team, you know, something that you can't really replace. But, again, they've got some guys who can play back there, and they're going to be able to withstand that.
Well said. I like that. So as you've watched practices, is there a surprise player or someone that stands out to you that maybe no one's really thinking about right now?
Well, you know, kind of the first name that comes to mind, I think people are familiar with this Illinois roster, but I think the guy that people might not know about yet is LaRon Black. He's the freshman from Memphis, Tennessee. He was the player of the year in Tennessee, a top 40 recruit. He's a guy that Illinois hasn't had in a long time, and I'm trying to think back to the last time they had a guy who was kind of that junkyard dog type of guy who's just going to go in and be relentless and get rebounds and defend and do all the dirty things that you need to do. And I think the good thing about LaRon is when you get, you know, kind of some highly touted freshmen, they want to come in and they want to score double figures and do all this. And, you know, when we talked to him last week, he says, my job is to get rebounds and defend. That's what I'm going to do. He's not coming in here trying to score, trying to shoot from the perimeter and all of that. He's going to do what they ask him to do. So I think, you know, by the time the Big Ten season rolls around, he's going to be a guy who, once he figures it all out, he's going to be a really key piece to this team. And I think he's going to be a guy that Illinois fans and really Big Ten fans are going to have a lot of fun watching.
That's interesting. You mentioned LaRon Black. I think in speaking with Coach Gross earlier, or you know, at the latter part of the summer, he was saying that a lot of the guys don't like the scrimmage against him, LaRon Black, because he's so physical. And you gave him the junkyard dog moniker. Is it that he's just got a high motor, or is he just physically more mature as a freshman? What makes him so special at this point?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. And you're right about what Coach Rose said about guys. They love playing with him on their teams in practice, but they don't like going against him. They nicknamed him the Savage. That's what they've been calling him that. So he's definitely got a high motor. He's going to play hard. I don't think he really knows any other way. He told me last week when he was growing up in Memphis, he played against a lot of older guys, and you had to play that way if you're going to make it out there. So I think he just kind of got that in him. He's had that since he was a young kid. But interesting thing about him is, you know, Lauren Tate had actually laid eyes on LaRon in person for the first time last week, and he always pictured him being the skinny, frail guy, and he's not a muscular guy yet by any means, but he's a lot bigger and a little bit more mature than maybe some guys who come in at that position, you know, for his size. He's about 6'7". I want to say he's about 210, 215 pounds right now, and probably added a little bit more since then. So he's got some physical maturity for a freshman, and he's got plenty of room to grow. He's got the wide shoulders, and he's got the frame for it also, I think. You know, by the time he's a sophomore and junior, he's going to be one of those imposing presences in the Big Ten.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how he progresses throughout the year. It's, you know, because the Illini were able to play Malcolm Hill a lot last year at the four, and I anticipate that they'll try to do that as well. So Black and Malcolm Hill give them some depth at the four position. Looking at the Illini, they appear to be very strong in the backcourt, but There still remain some questions up front with Maverick, Morgan, Austin, Colbert. How are those guys progressing thus far?
Yeah, Coach Gross said last week, the first weekend of practice, they started practice last Friday, and he said that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that Maverick and Austin Colbert were awesome. He said they had a great week, and then they kind of regressed a little bit on Monday and Tuesday. You know, kind of some inconsistencies there. So they're guys who are talented, who've got it in them. It's just a matter of getting it out of them on a more consistent basis. I think if you had to pick which one was ahead right now, I'd say Maverick Morgan's going to be the backup guy at five behind Nana Egwu, guy we haven't even talked about yet. But Maverick Morgan's had a pretty good summer offseason. He's put on a little bit of weight. He's getting a little bit more mature in his body, and he's a guy, if you watch him on the offensive end, I don't know how much people out there saw him last season, but when he was in the games and he got the ball on the block, he's got a real nice touch around the basket. He's just one of those guys who can put it off the glass. He can put it in the basket from, you know, inside 10 feet on a pretty consistent basis. But I think defensively is where they're going to need him to kind of make up some ground and step up a little bit and be more consistent. He had some trouble with fouls last year, so he's got to, you know, defend better without fouling and do some of those things. So I think he'll be the guy that you see for maybe 8 to 10 minutes a game behind Nana Egwu to get them a blow here and there if he gets into foul trouble, if he gets tired.
Now, will we see Nana Egwu in terms of his game not be so much face-up, a pick and pop, or will we see him slide into the bucket, or will he just be more – almost like a traditional pick-and-pop four, where I saw Nana get the majority of his shots. Will that still be the, kind of the consistent theme, or will they try to work him down closer to the block?
They'll mix a little bit. You're not going to see a ton of him down on the block. I know that's something that people want to see more of him just because he's 6'11", he's a big guy, but they're not really going to change his game a whole lot. I know he shot a lot from the perimeter last year. Didn't make a whole lot of them, but early in the season, he made some big threes for them. I think in the Missouri game, he hit a couple big ones, hit a couple big ones in the UNLV game. So they're going to continue to let him shoot and face up a little bit, but I think you'll see him get down on the block a little bit more, but not a lot, because it's just not something that he's been real comfortable doing. And, you know, at this stage of the game, you know, your fourth year in college, that's still something that you're not really comfortable doing. I don't think you're going to make a drastic change as a senior. So they'll get him down there a little bit, you know, kind of they'll use him as they have in the past to get him a couple easy opportunities early in the game, maybe get him comfortable. But you're still going to see him playing in the pick and pop. And really, he was at his best in terms of playing in the paint when Jalen Tate was in the game at the point guard. Jalen does a really good job of using screens and setting him up and putting Nana in good positions to score on the interior. So Jalen's a guy you're going to see as the backup point guard. So I think when he's in the game, you'll see Nana in the paint a little bit more.
That's a great point when you talk about Nana and Jalen Tate. I do recall them last season hooking up on numerous occasions because, you know, Jalen being a pass for first point guard and him seeming to have a really good connection with Nana Egwu, that'll be interesting to watch. Let's look at the schedule a little bit and the pre-conference slate for the Illini. The Illini could see either Baylor or Memphis in Vegas. They go to Miami. They took Maryland's place to play Villanova in New York City. And then they have Oregon and Chicago in the annual bragging rights game with Missouri. How would you rate this non-conference slate for the Illini this season?
I think I do think it's pretty good because this is the best team that John Gross has had at Illinois so far, and I feel like it's a pretty challenging schedule. You mentioned a lot of those games. Most of them are away from home. All of them really are away from home. Now you got the neutral site game in Chicago. That's the closest to a home game you got there. The Missouri game is in St. Louis. But, you know, in order to impress the selection committee and to put yourself in a good position in March, you got to play people away from home and you got to win some games away from home. And I think they've got a number of opportunities in the non-conference part of the schedule to do that. You know, it's going to be challenging. Someone asked me last week what I thought would be a successful non-conference schedule. And I think maybe if you can go 11-2 in that stretch, and I think you should beat Missouri, you should beat Oregon, you win one of those games in Vegas. You know, Villanova's going to be tough in New York, and then Miami game on the road is going to be tough. I think Miami's going to be a little bit better this season. But a couple of those games that are toss-ups, you got to win. So I think if they can go 11-2 in the non-conference going into the Big Ten season, I think that would be a good setup and a good schedule for them. So I think it's pretty good for what they're dealing with in terms of their roster coming back. I think it's challenging enough. I know there's a lot of teams out there who are afraid to play some games, but I feel like that they put themselves in position to have their schedule be a benefit to them when the selection time comes around.
You're listening to Bardo's Breakdown with Stephen Bardo. My guest today is Marcus Jackson of the News Gazette in Champaign, Illinois. Very good, Marcus, about the non-conference slate. Let's move forward to the Big Ten this year, and a lot of exodus with talent going to the pros and graduation, but it still looks like it's going to be quite a competitive year in the Big Ten. Early prognostication from you, where do you see the Illini fitting in the Big Ten this season?
You know, Bob Baptist from the Columbus Dispatch, longtime beat writer for Ohio State, he does an unofficial media poll every year. Gets two guys or gals from every program who covers them to predict the Big Ten 1-14 because the Big Ten only comes out with 1-3. And I turned mine in this weekend, and I think I had Illinois 6 in the Big Ten. So I think that's right about right. I think you know, it's kind of weird watching all these preseason things. I looked at one magazine; it's got Michigan State 9th. Another one has Michigan State 2nd. And I think what you've been seeing, you know, obviously Wisconsin, I think, is going to be a unanimous number one pick. But I think from like 2 to 9, I think you can seriously throw those teams in a hat. And I think people have been doing that and pick them out in order and figure out where teams are going to finish. But I feel like Illinois should be in that 5 to 6 to 7 range. I think I got them 6th in mind. So I think that'll be, again, like you said, the Big Ten is going to be tough again this season, and there's a lot of parity. But I think Illinois is good enough, and if they play up to the capability to stay healthy, I think they should be in that top half at about 6.
And for the Illini to do that, Marcus, for them to have the 11-2 non-conference slate, like you mentioned, and to be in the top half of the Big Ten conference, who's going to be their X factor this year? What player, if they come on and play well or exceed expectations, will really benefit the Illini the most?
Well, I think Revonte Rice is going to have to continue to be, you know, their top guy in terms of getting baskets because he can score on the inside, he can score outside, he can put it on the ground or put it on the floor and get to the basket, get to the free throw line. So he's going to have to continue to be that big scorer that like they had last year at 16 points a game. But Aaron Cosby, I think, is another guy, you know, the transfer from Seton Hall. He's a guy who can really stretch the defense and shoot the ball from three. And I think he's going to have to be consistent from out there. Like we talked about earlier in the podcast about stretching the floor and opening things up for other guys, I think you're going to have to see a lot from him at both ends of the court, really. I think he's kind of the guy that you look at as the X factor. We haven't even mentioned Kendrick Nunn and Malcolm Hill, the two freshmen from last year who came along late. I think those guys are going to have to take another step as well. So I think there's a bunch of different guys, but, you know, really, you know, Kendrick and Malcolm and Aaron Cosby are the guys who, you know, Revonte is kind of a household name now, but I think those are the three guys that you really want to look at that can step up and make some big plays for you.
Let's transition to recruiting as we start to wind up this interview. You know, it's been a big topic this summer and fall with the Illini, with Gross and his staff doing a great job of getting some top 60 prospects to come to Champaign and visit. How would you grade or rate John Gross and his staff's recruiting at this point?
I think I'd probably put it in a B minus just because, you know, they've missed on a couple guys, but this class right now, if you look at, you know, some of those recruiting services who do these things, one of them's got them at number 7 in the country in terms of their class, and I think another one's got them at 10. So they're right in that range of having a top 15. It's going to be a consensus top 15 class, and they still got a couple of names out there of guys that they're going after. So I think they've done a great job, you know, not only getting the guys that they've gotten. You know, Jalen Coleman lands in this class. He's a top 35 kid out of Indianapolis. When's the last time Illinois got a kid from Indiana? I think it's been, you know, maybe before you were in school, right, Steven? It's been over 30 years.
Yeah, I think it was Scott Hafner from Evansville was the last one from Indiana, I believe.
Yeah, so that's a big get for them. And then, you know, they got DJ Williams and Aaron Jordan, two of the best guards in the state, or wings, or whatever you want to call them. So they've done a really good job so far. And obviously people focus so much on the misses. You know, they missed Jalen Brunson, they missed Juwan Evans. But what they've done here is they've really exceeded or they've raised the expectation level of the fan base in terms of the guys that they're going after and who they're going to get. You know, people hear that they're going after the top point guard in the country, a point guard from Texas, and they automatically start thinking about, we're going to have that kid, but then they don't get him, and then they get disappointed about it. But if you look at the way that they've set things up for themselves right now, you know, they're not going to have any of those real big gaps in terms of talent and have a down year. I think they're set up right now to be consistent going in and out, and at some point they're going to land one of those big-time guys that they got, and they've already done it with, you know, Jalen Coleman a couple weeks ago. So I think they're in good shape there. So I'd say a pretty solid B, you know, in terms of recruiting right now for Illinois.
Where do the Illini stand in the recruitment of Elijah Thomas? I know he's still undecided. I think he's going to make his decision on the 21st of October. Is that correct?
Right. About a week from now. He keeps saying publicly that Illinois is his front runner. He said that Illinois is the favorite after the visit. Ever since then, he's had a visit to SMU, and even after that, he said Illinois was his favorite. He's going to Texas A&M this week. It'll be his last visit, and then he'll make the decision next week. So I really think it's going to come down to, you know, Illinois, Oklahoma State is what it kind of seems to be the consensus of what people think he's going to pick. He's also got LSU in there, so they're right there. I think they're planning on seeing him at least one more time in person before he makes a decision. So, you know, I think it could go either way on that day, but I think Illinois is still in really good shape for him, and there should be reason for optimism about it. But there's a chance they might not get him. We've seen that before. But again, if they don't, they're still in pretty good shape in terms of what they've done so far.
Well, this is the point of the podcast where we transition and do some fun stuff. And I'll ask you like I'll ask everybody else, Marcus. So if I'm getting in your car right now, what's in your music rotation? What are you listening to right now?
That's a good one. I've been doing a lot of Spotify lately, listening to some random things. If I hear something on the radio, what is in there right now? I think the last song I listened to in the car was it's the one with Drake and Lil Wayne.
So who's your go-to?
I'm trying to sing it in my head right now to get the name of the song. Believe
okay.
Me is what it's called. Believe Me.
Okay, so you're a Drake fan then.
He's all right. He's got every once in a while he'll put something out that I really like. My go-to though is if I really need to just like if I'm on a road trip and I need to like put a whole CD in or something, I'm a Justin Timberlake guy.
Okay, I like that.
I like Justin a lot.
Talented guy, man.
He is talented. He's fun. I've actually been up on Justin a little bit ever since NSYNC. I know people like to laugh about that a little bit, but like you said, he's talented, man. He's been good.
Yeah. Well, that's Marcus Jackson of the News Gazette out of Champaign. Thank you for joining me today on Bartles Breakdown. If you have questions, please email them to Stephen@StephenBartle.com, and we will definitely share them during the podcast. For Marcus Jackson, I'm Stephen Bartle. That'll do it for another edition of Bartles Breakdown. Until next time, holla!